24, Norway, Texas, Quebec. You have any comment?
For HX. Good evening, Eddie.
I don't recognize your voice, but good evening. I just did some of our radios back on the power supplies, and I hear some stuff, people, that I can't understand what they say.
There's lots of people just pushing the PTT lately. It's really good to hear you back on the air. I've been wondering what happened to you.
Moved houses here in Saxonville. I'm one of the closest to my family. And I had new place to stay and all that kind of stuff. And I just couldn't get it all done in one day, over.
Say, it's just really, really good to hear you on the air. I hadn't heard you since before your birthday in October.
There's a lot of birthday parties here, and up in North Carolina, Wineville, Wilmington, Southport. People, I don't know where I got it up in Southeastern. I forgot where I was up there or not, but then I got back down here and so forth. But I've been, to be 100, I'm in pretty good shape, over.
Randy, you sounding good for 100 years old. Like I say, it's really, really good to hear you on the air. Had several people asking if we'd heard from you. So be glad to, I know there'll be a lot of people glad to hear you back on the net tonight if you make it.
Well, I'm trying to. I forgot when some of these nets, South Carolina nets, come on. And I thought this is one of the frequencies that the signals is full scale, so really copy good. I think it comes on at 9 o'clock, I'm not sure. My daughter just come in and see how I'm doing for the day, and I'll get back towards her, but it's W4NTQ, W4 Not Too Quiet.
NTQ, Eddie, it's really good to hear you, and you are correct, the net is at 9 o'clock, so that if you can make it, I know they'll be loving to hear you. But good to hear you back on the air, sir. KO4HKX. Clear. 73.
N4ZLK.
To Shane.
That's dead.
Need these retirement bills.
Sometimes I was out, had a chiropractor appointment. Ran a couple of errands. Never did hear you.
I turned my radio down this morning because it was real scratchy over there on 123, and forgot to turn it back up. So I probably missed you.
I just was out and thought I'd give you a holler and see if you were around.
Trying. Sorry I missed you.
Good day.
Yeah, not bad. Nothing to. I won't say there's nothing to complain about because the check engine light come on in the tool truck this morning, but it went back off on its own, so whatever it is intermittent right now, so have to deal with that in the future. But today was a good day.
That light is just to tell you that the engine's there. That's what all of our lights do on our tractors.
4HK, yeah, it's just letting you know the engine's there. That's all it's doing. As long as it's the orange one, keep going, right?
I had one time, and it went away pretty quick, so I didn't know what to do. I just left it alone.
The red ones are the bad ones. The orange ones are just, they're just information.
Just meant it was mad at me for a little bit.
I mean, could be taken that way, but you never know. We'll see what it was. I'm pretty sure it was a misfire, but who knows for sure.
Nothing serious, and it clears up on its own.
I don't need anything serious right now, that's for sure. I need to be able to get that truck to run for a little while and not have any problems.
You need to talk to me. I'm not serious. Well, I never, Shane. Zero GR. I just turned it on.
I thought you were serious all the time. I take everything you say like you mean it 100%.
That's where two fools met, then, Shane. Hey, I got a card from Jarvis Island tonight. I don't think I ever had that one before. And I worked them on four bands. Eat your heart out. Go ahead, Patrick.
Tell Shane, boy, have you got him fooled.
I was just throwing that out there. I was being serious, too.
You spell that R-E-I-G-H-T. Oh, I'm just sitting here with Bernice, and she's reading a magazine she got today, I guess, and having a cup of leftover coffee from this morning. Gets stronger when it sets in that thermos bottle. And eating a couple of those white donuts.
Light powder everywhere.
Be late at night. No wonder she's not sleeping well.
I am. I'm about to fall out of the chair in there, she said, when I was putting my shoes on. And I thought, well, maybe that'll wake me up. Of course, I got a gun smoke here on INSP playing, but I haven't got any sound on it. You guys interrupted me.
When come on there, I hadn't heard in a while, so I had to jump in there and make sure he was welcome.
Microphone, just about ready to respond to him when you did.
Beyond mobile, Shane. Well, I had a good day. I went down to the alarm guys. I want to get my grandson alarm put on his old 2007 Dodge truck before he goes off to college. I don't know where he's going yet. And then asked him, I was having a little trouble with mine. The siren wasn't working on it. And that old boy come out there and troubleshot it. And put a new siren on it there and found out it was just a bad ground. But really nice people down there, Carr LLC down there south of Greer. And so that's where I want my grandson to go. And I went to that electric company down there on Main Street in Greer and got a couple of plugs, 120 volt plugs, because this one on this Harbor Freight thing gets hot on this little heater I have behind me here, and I just don't trust it. And then I went to Lowe's. I asked for some ice melt. Now, how stupid can you be? I mean, I knew before he even answered you what the answer was going to be. Go ahead, Patrick.
Melt on that one. I'm going to leave it alone.
Me too. Sorry, Tom. Do you still have ice at your place, though?
I said, Gerald T.R. Well, I did. Shane, well, Patrick's more familiar with it than you are, but you probably remember, too. Out by the chicken pen, I got that tin barn, and the water runs off the front of it there. It's got an angled roof, and that big slab of concrete I had laid in front of it was a solid sheet of ice, and I couldn't even get in there to get the oats and the corn and the feed for the chickens. Of course, they had feed. But finally, today, Bernice got to thinking, or I did, we had some ice cream salt. So I went out and threw that on there and finally got it off. Then I went and got some gasoline in the 5-gallon cans tonight. I can't lift them, so I wheeled them down there on a two-wheeler. Got that done. Then I went back and scraped a little ice out in front of the carport. Same situation. But there was a quarter inch of ice on that driveway. But they, the answer to the wanting some bags of ice melt was we're sold out. I kind of figured that.
Never worried out of that right now. There was lots of ice around still.
From my house, they call it the driveway, but it's a private drive. It goes uphill, and it's still completely covered and packed. Neighbors have been, one of my neighbors having trouble getting out. They're out there digging with shovels and stuff, but I think she's just a little afraid of sliding. If she'd just give a little fuel to start with, she'd be fine, I think. Because I've gotten both, my truck will get out real easy, and I've gotten my wife's car out. It slips a little bit, but anyway, it's just part of it. It faces north, and it's still coated in ice.
Anyways, I started back out with the truck, and it slid on it and went, tried going sideways, but I wasn't going that fast, of course. But I'm scared to death of falling on the ice after I took that bad fall. And as you get older, you get less balanced. Patrick can tell you that I am unbalanced.
In more than one way.
I was going to say, you could tell me how what it's like when you get older to be unbalanced.
I left myself wide open there. Don't count on it every time, though, Patrick.
That age wouldn't have nothing to do with just leaving yourself wide open, not even knowing it.
I'm not as old as you are, Tom, but I slipped on the ice back, 2005. Has it been that long? Yeah. And I broke my wrist, broke my arm, and it took me several years to not be very nervous about being on the ice. I still don't care for it. I'm just not as nervous as I used to be.
Some of those, what do they call them, kayak or something, pro ice things. They get, it looks like little coil springs all over the bottom of it. But I didn't put them on. But I had on those rubbers over my shoes when I went out there. And they're not very, they don't have any tread on them really to speak of. But buddy, I was careful. I had a flat nose shovel. It's about a foot wide. I just kind of broke it up and got it off of there. Well, what did you hear backfire today, Patrick? Was that your good truck?
This thing backfired, thankfully, but I heard the tool truck check engine light came on.
You got one of those fancy hooty dooties to read the codes, don't you?
I do, and it's got a misfire.
Ain't no joy on any of that, Patrick. It dropped down real bad there. About 2 words into that.
On your signal, Tom. Patrick, are you cross-banding? Because it sounded like an HC battery going dead.
Okay, Patrick, you come through there that time. This is 0TR. I turned the power up, Shane.
Yeah, I think it might be the repeater, at least with the noise. Because it was still in there, even though you turned the power up, Tom.
We need to melt the ice off the antenna. I think Patrick said, I know one time I told him his signal wasn't very good, and he said that you had to get those finals warmed up on it, but I don't know. Could still be ice on it, I suppose, but it was up to 50 degrees down here today. Did you work today, Shane?
Never come off on Mondays, ran some errands, but I'll be headed back in the morning. I did work yesterday. They didn't run any loads Friday night because of the weather, so I drove took a long box down to Atlanta yesterday. Left about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Some of that inch and a half, huh?
Sunday.
Yeah, boy. I rarely ever got that up there when I worked at the machine shop for 32 years. they did not like paying electricians for, well, we were Sunday, let alone Saturday. We were indirect labor. In other words, it wasn't charged to a job.
They say they don't like doing it, but when they need it done, there, you know, there's nothing else they can do. So, and I was happy to take it. If we have, let's see, in our building, we have one route that starts on Sunday. It's a Sunday through Thursday route. So that's just normal pay. But if you have a route and you work extra on Sunday, it is double time.
Could be. Somebody had mentioned that Georgia got a lot more ice than we did. I forget who it was, but somebody who was either traveling 85 or something, I overheard it. Is that correct? Did they get hit a lot harder than us?
Good when I got there Sunday, but Sunday morning there was a lot more ice on the trees. I think they got more freezing rain than we did, because our trees, they had stuff on it the first day, but it melted by the end of Saturday out of the trees. But their trees were still covered, like frosted over, where it's real pretty when it's iced over. When I got down there yesterday morning, the time I left, it was up to 50 degrees, so it had all melted.
I don't want to drive on ice, let alone walk on it. I noticed that my coaxial cable is leaning out in the backyard. You know, there's one of them 250 feet long, and they had ice on them out there on that steel cable that supports them and the coax.
Okay. Yeah, I saw a lot of pictures of some of the guys down there in Georgia. Some of their ham radio equipment, their antennas and coax cables were just covered in ice, and ice sickles hanging from it. And though I didn't have anything like that here, we just had mostly snow, and it sleeted a little bit at the end of it. And it was an easy snow to drive in. It wasn't real, you know, it wasn't icy like it can be if it sleets first or rains and freezes first and then snows on top of it. We just had all snow up here.
Back when I was throwing papers and working for the drugstore, I didn't mind snow. The old Cushman Eagles had about a 4-inch wide tire on them, and it was fine till the next day when the ruts froze. Oh my, that was very, very dangerous, trying to throw 135 papers at 4:35 o'clock in the morning. And the old Cushmans had magneto on them, so the lights depended upon the RPM, you know, of the engine. And if you were an idle, you didn't have much of a light at all. But I don't think people realize that, but a lot of the old motorcycles were that way in the old days. And then my motorcycles that I had three different Yamahas, from HCC and the 125 and the 250. They had a lot narrower tire on them. And I'll never forget, I was out in front of our grocery store, and there's a big slope there down in front of it, and I slid all the way to the bottom of it, and the motorcycle was an enduro. And when it tipped over, the tailpipe went right over on my calf muscle on my leg, right, maybe 6 inches above my ankle. And you might as well have thrown it on a hot stove. This is Enduro TR.
Some of that, what they call self-branding, didn't you?
You got that right. I did a little bit of that riding the bicycle dumps where the old coal mines were. We had trails going through them, and camel's backs that you could jump over, you know, and that. And one of them was practically straight up. And I'll never forget getting almost the top one time, and the bike inverted and rolled over on me. And it rolled over like two or three times going to the bottom of that hill. And I got down there and called it a few names and kicked it, and it just started right up.
It is when nobody knew any better, and it didn't know any better either. We got too much now. It seems like they don't last in situations like that anymore.
And motorcycles unless you get up in one of the high-end Hondas or Yamahas or Suzukis. They're all crotch rockets, and I wouldn't buy one if I wanted one.
Couple. I wouldn't want one to personally, but it was fun to ride, but that was about it. Not for long riding for me, anyway. Too uncomfortable.
Well, you know what I noticed? I turned on that AMA motocross thing yesterday just for a few minutes and watched it. And the suspension on those things is so long anymore when they go over those jumps. It's just incredible compared to ours. I raced on a TT track up in Kansas, and it just had one jump in it, but the suspension on those things, I don't know how long it is now, but it's really long, so they can take those big jumps and absorb them, but it's still, you better be really in good shape and athletically, or that would be a tough business.
It's a, you know, a sport on its own. You've got to be trained for and in good shape for. I mean, I respect them. Those guys are good at what they do, and they work hard. But anyway, some of them make it look pretty easy too.
Boys Place once had a farm up north of our town, up in Kansas, and he had a big pasture, and he had bought a 360 Yamaha. Heck, the biggest thing I drove was a 250 YDS-3. It was twin cylinder, and it'd go. And it'd run, 95 miles an hour or so. But it wasn't geared like that dirt bike that he had. And I took off across that pasture. Shane, he could be going 50, 60 miles an hour, downshift and gunning, and it'd come just straight up in the air, wouldn't you? It scared me.
Get away from you if you're not familiar with it.
Expansion chambers on it. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but they were really, really noisy mufflers. And I wouldn't call them a muffler. They're an expansion chamber. But, I was used to doing wheelies at, 10, 20 miles an hour. Nowadays, you see those guys out there on those crotch rockets going along at no telling how fast, and they can just bring the front end right up off the ground with those things. They're very, very dangerous in the hands of these young guys that they just get bit, and they don't know it till it bites them.
That's how some of those people, I think some of those young guys have been riding since they were 4 or 5 years old, but I hate to see when somebody who's never been on one before goes with something like that as their first bike, thinking that they'll be able to handle it. I've had a couple acquaintances through the years when I was younger that didn't make it. They're still the same age that they were then because they were messing around on those things and didn't survive one of the falls that they had.
Go out to the farm there. My brother-in-law's back in Kansas, and it was flatter than a pancake out there. And he bought a 500 Honda quad runner, I guess they call them, four-wheeler. And I think I was more scared of that thing out there on the dirt roads. When you got up to about 40, 45 mile an hour, it felt like you was on ice. And if that thing rolled over on you, and I know several that it has, it's heavy and big, and it's probably going to kill you.
I like bikes. I enjoy them. I never was a daredevil. I'm not a daredevil in anything, so it's not saying much, but I enjoy what they do, and I enjoy tooling around on them, but I never did get into doing anything crazy or, I mean, when you do it all the time, it's no big deal when you can handle it like that, but that wasn't me.
Now that's true, Shane. Well, I was a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde when I was really young, like 16, 18 years old. You think you're one of the untouchables, I guess. but after a little road rash, you smarten up. Down here, it's the population that's bad. Up there in Kansas, well, wow, it was wide open, and it was flat, and you could see a long ways. So I love to, you know, tour on it. And for a while, when I first got out of high school, before I joined the service, I rode 165 miles every weekend out to Wichita during the week to work at Learjet, and then I'd ride home on the weekends. And that's a long ways on a 250, but it cruised 60, 70 mile an hour, and I really enjoyed it. Until I went through some Holstein cattle one night that got out, that put the wind out of my sails real quick.
Would. I hope you didn't hit any of them, but I bet it was, even if you didn't, that would wake you up real quick, wouldn't it?
It's at the top of a hill out in the Flint Hills, and they had big hills out there just where you get to Wichita between Augusta and Fredonia. And as I was coming down the hill, I noticed what looked like a possum or a coon or something out in the road. But as I come down the hill, those eyes got taller, if you can visualize that going down that hill. And most of them weren't looking at me, and one of them turned and looked, and I went right between them, and I was running full cruising speed, probably 60 or so, and it was cold, and I had put my feet up on the tank, and you can't take them off the tank except 1 foot at a time real slowly. And I didn't have no cruise control or anything on it, but I did have a bar mount fairing, and I went right between some of those black and white Holstein cows, and they'd gotten out, and it was like 10 o'clock at night, and I pulled into the farmer's yard up the road about a half a mile, and I like to got eat alive by his dogs, so I was just frozen in time, and he come to the door, and I'm just lucky he didn't shoot me at that time of night, because they was already in bed. So, anyways, I edged my way up to the door, and the dogs were just right at my heels, and I know they would probably bite. And he come to the door, and I said, "Sir, you got some cattle out on the highway down there." And I said, "I just come between them," and I said, "I still got goosebumps." And I said, "You need to get those off there, because somebody's going to get killed." And there wasn't hardly any traffic. And he said, "You wait a minute, son." And he went back in the house, and he come back with a $20 bill, which was a lot of money to me. And he held that out, and he says, "Thank you, son." And I said, "No, no, 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 no." I said, you keep your money, but you get those cows off the road."
I'm sure he was grateful. It might have been next morning sometime before he found out about the cows being out. I'm just curious, not counting the cows, did you ever have to worry about deer or anything getting on the road if you were riding at nighttime?
Down at on the Tallahena Trail in Arkansas, and I was down at Mena, and it's in the Ozark, the Wichita National Forest, and I was coming back up towards home, and I was running about 80, and it was real curvy, and I was by myself, and I come around the corner, and there was five or six deer, and they were on the bluff side, and the other side was a drop-off, but they were on the side that there was we called it the buck wall in coal mines. Anyways, it's a pretty tall wall, so they couldn't run up it. And they was kind of in the ditch. And as I come around there, I put my finger on the horn, and I had installed some 5M horns on it, and they were very loud. And those deer were just starting to cross the road. And about that time, they heard that, and they startled them, and they ran straight up the ditch instead of coming across the road chain. And I stopped and thanked the good Lord. I mean, seriously, I'd have been dead at that speed. And my brother, he hit a 12-point buck up in West Virginia and broke his collarbone, busted his spleen, and punctured a lung with, it was a 12-point buck.
4, is that LK? Yeah, I'm just curious. That we've been out here where we live now for 7 years, I guess. And there's times I've seen them right on the side of the road. I see more, though, going down the interstate, going down to Georgia, standing on the side of the interstate, eating grass or just staring at the cars. But, of course, I wouldn't feel it if I hit one of those in that thing. It's the reaction. You can't react in something like that. You just got to go through it. But, that is one thing that would concern me about riding in the evening time or nighttime. But it's, depending on the weather and time of year and the moon and all that, it's like they're out at different times of the evening, sometimes more to dusk and sometimes later in the evening when it's already dark. But I haven't had one jump out. I've had one where I've seen him running across the field, and I've been able to hit the brakes and let him go. But Beth has hit two of them with two different vehicles over the years. So fortunately, nobody got hurt.
N0TR. Well, Bernice and I was coming back from Miami, Oklahoma, which was about 30 miles up to Pittsburgh, Kansas there. We were just south of Baxter Springs, Kansas. And as we were coming along there, I always, it's flatland. Any place of timber come near the road, I definitely was looking for deer. And it was just barely nighttime, and that's when they move, and early in the morning. And I was looking for them diligently, and they're around the rivers or the streams. They're around that a lot, and so I watched for that. If there was a bridge or something, I'd slow way down because they follow that. And we was running about 50 to 60 mile an hour. It was a nice highway. We're just outside of town, and right on the Oklahoma-Kansas line. And this deer, when I seen it, Shane, he was in front of my left headlight. I never saw him coming, and it was out of an open field. Now, coyotes, you expect that. But that deer, I wasn't expecting him there. And I thought, well, we're home free, because we was coming into that town. And I could see the lights of the town, matter of fact. And he did $4,000 worth of damage to that Toyota Avalon. He hit it and flopped up on the hood, and I slammed on the brakes. And I thought, well, you're a little bit late, Tom, because he'd already done the damage. And I pulled over to the side of the road, N0TR, and a guy come along behind me. And he stopped, and he walked up to me, and I was looking for the deer. He says, oh, the deer's back down here. And I introduced myself. He says, you mind if I have that deer? And I said, as long as you cut his throat. I said, I don't care. I was mad.
I've heard of people. I saw a car accident right there in Malden, Lawrence Road, going between 85 and headed into Malden. Actually, she was coming the other way, but she was in a minivan. Used to see deer get hit there all the time. They've cleared most of it out now and built all kinds of buildings and condos and apartments. But anyway, the lady was killed there. The deer went through her windshield and killed her. She was on her way to work. That's been probably 10 years ago.
I've seen pictures of where the deer come through the driver's side window and kill the operator. It's just really sad. I think without any doubt, if my brother hadn't had on a crash helmet and full leathers, and his wife was on the back, she didn't get hurt, but both of them was ejected. And I think it was on the Blue Ridge Parkway. It was up in West Virginia, and it was in the mountains. But I think the deer would have won that one. It's funny, they killed the deer, and the paramedics, his wife was a paramedic, they went out and they salvaged the rack off of the deer, and give the rest of it to somebody. But they had it mounted and had a plaque on it and it had his name and it said Suzuki GT750 on that plaque. And they brought it back. When they took it, the neighbors thought Ronnie was dead because they had it on a gurney and a white sheet over the top of it.
A 12 point, I think I'd probably want to keep that rack too, even if I got it that way. Especially if I got it off of a motorcycle when you get hurt that bad. But that's terrible. I know it must have hurt. I'm glad they made it through that. But anyway, Tom, I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna go see what Beth's doing. We got her granddaughter over again tonight. She's got a little sister due here any minute, any day now. So we're kind of keeping her to make. So they don't have to worry about her. And maybe she can get some rest. But Beth was putting her down. I'm going to go see if she's got Ada asleep yet. But I enjoyed talking to you. Hope you and Bernice have a good evening. And make sure you mind Miss Bernice now. We'll talk to you later. N0TR and 4ZLK.
Oh, I will. You know I will, Shane. I'm looking up for lightning right now. Yeah, the pleasure's all mine. I always enjoy it, Shane. In 4ZLK in 0TR 73, and I think I'll turn the HF on.